faster than human reflexes, saved me as I slammed into the stone wall. I jackknifed into the hole and landed on a wooden floor littered with shards of glass, broken stone, and wooden splinters. The room was a nursery, again. Stone floors holding pastel hangings in a faint attempt to make it less grim. Toys scattered, burning across the floor. A huge, ornate mahogany bedstead crouched in one corner, and I saw a stray gleam of light from the emerald in the child's forehead as it gave one amazing flash of light. My own emerald rang, answering it. The smell. Ice and cold blood. Maggots and wet rat fur. Triggered my gorge. If I'd had anything in my stomach, I would have spewed. I didn't know demons could throw up.
Santino. It's his smell. He's been here. I know he's been here. It was him falling from the room.
Oh, no! Gabe!
Eddie spotted Gabe, who lay broken and bloody against the far wall.
Of course, she was the first in, and Santino was here, probably expecting us as soon as the commotion started.
How badly is she hurt?
But I didn't have time to think about it. Eddie would take care of her. Eddie gained his feet, shaking his shaggy head. It looked like he'd fetched up hard against the other side of the steel door to this room. His hair was singed, and he was dirty from stone dust. He ran for Gabe.
Don't let her be hurt. Please don't let her be hurt.
Jeff Ramel landed inside the room, coat folding around him as he rolled. He gained his feet and whirled, seeing me, then nodded. He strode toward Gabe, and I shook free of Jace, bolting for the bed. The little girl sat straight up, her dark eyes huge. The only uncertain light came from burning, reflected in through the massive hole in the wall. I reached the bed, stared down at the girl.
This is no child. What am I doing?
Eddie, go! Go and take Gabe back to the ship. She'll live.
He ripped her stomach out!
Jeff Ramel caught Eddie's shoulders, his eyes sparking for a moment with the old green flame.
I have mended her. She will live, Dirt Witch. As you value her life, go.
Jeff Ramel pushed him away.
What about Santino?
By the bed, I held out my hands. The girl looked at me. The cacophony. Klaxon screaming, anti-aircraft fire. They were filling the sky with bolts, trying to hit something. Faded away.
She has Dorian's eyes.
The child nodded. It wasn't just that she was beautiful, because she was. She looked as if Lucifer and Doreen had melded into one small, perfect entity, the emerald in her forehead singing. It wasn't that she put up her hands and smiled at me. It wasn't even that she smelled familiar. Some combination of fresh-baked bread and a unique smell that something in my subconscious recognized. It was the shadow of knowledge in her dark eyes, and the absolute lack of fear. I knew she had somehow been waiting for me, had somehow known I was coming and accepted it. The knowledge chilled me right down to my new bones.
She's not human. What if it's best to leave her with Santino?
I scooped her up and turned, ran for the others, her hot, chubby arms wrapped around my neck. They were pounding on the heavy iron-bound door leading into the rest of the castle.
They're breaking in! Santino's human army is on its way. Where did Santino go? How long will it take him to get back up here?
I didn't have time to worry about it.
Jace, take her!
I shoved the girl into Jace's arms. He took her before he realized what I was doing. I pushed him out of the hole in the wall, his slick cord taking the kinetic energy I supplied.
Whoops! Too much power! Sorry about that, Jace! Now get her to the ship, Jace! Move!
Jeff Ramel hauled Gabe up. Power thundering in the confined space and dyeing the air with diamond dark, twisting flames. Gabe flopped in his arms, but Jeff Ramel had said she would live. Eddie took Gabe's limp weight. Her slick board lay twisted and useless against the far wall.
Santino went that way.
Eddie indicated with his head the hole in the wall. His face a mask of rage. I grabbed him by the collar and shook him.
Get Gabe out of here, Eddie! Move it!
I didn't have to tell him twice. He bolted for the hole in the wall, Gabe in his arms, blood dripping from her long dark braid.
Hope she's still alive. If she dies, gods damn it, Santino, I'll kill you twice.
Danny, get out of there! Hurry up!
Jeff Ramel started toward the hole in the wall.
Oh no, I am not leaving. I have business to finish here.
I turned toward the door, my katana sliding free. I dropped the borrowed scabbard, tore the comlink out of my ear, and fitted the plasgun into my left hand. Jaframel twisted away from the hole in the wall.
Does he really think I'll leave without doing what I came to do? As long as Santino is alive, I will never be able to rest again.
Jaframel's lips shaped my name. My blade blazed with pitiless blue light that threw sharp reflections through the ruined room. I pointed the plasgun at the door, where a circle of white-hot glow told me they were using laser cutters to break in on the other side.
Santino!
I squeezed the plasgun's trigger. The plasgun bolt smacked into the cutter's field and caused a chain reaction. Plasbolt reacting with the laser energy and freeing a whole hell of a lot of violent energy. It's a basic law of dealing with plasguns. Never shoot at reactive or laser fields. Nobody caught in that would want to fight anymore, not if they were human. If I'd been human, the concussion might have killed me. Suddenly, something broke through the wall behind the bed. Mahogany splinters flying like shrapnel, stone turning to dust and icicle shards. The shockwave caught me and threw me against the stone wall, and I almost lost my sword when I hit. It was Santino. Jaframel hurled himself at Santino, who threw up one clawed hand that held something glittering, made a complicated twisting motion, and tossed the glitter straight at Jaframel.
The egg!
A small glittering thing, no bigger than my fist, smacked Jaframel in the chest and blew him through the wall and out into the night. The sound made a gush of blood drip down from my ears and nose. I shook my head, dazed for only a split second. The drilling pain flashed through me and was gone, the warmth of the blood freezing against my skin in milliseconds. My breath puffed out, turned to a tissue-thin cloud of ice crystals, fell straight down.
Jaframel!
I faced Santino, whose claws cut the cold air. He moved, circling. He didn't look happy to see me.
Fool! The fool!
My katana circled. The rest of the world faded away. Here he was, right in front of me. My revenge.
Santino.
The entire world seemed to hold its breath. The shape of my vengeance lying under the fabric of reality, rising to meet me.
Or Vardamol, or whoever the hell you are.
You can't kill me! Neither man nor demon can kill me! Lucifer assured me of that!
I showed my own teeth, boots shuffling lightly, quickly.
I am going to eat your fucking heart. I'm not a man or a demon, Santino. Your immunity doesn't apply.
The black teardrops over his eyes swallowed the light.
You could have been a queen! You could have helped me kill Lucifer and take the rule of hell! But no! You stupid, silly human!
Not human. Not anymore.
He bared his teeth again.
Who do you think helped me escape from hell? He's Lucifer's assassin, his right hand. He's used you.
That answered the question that had been teasing the back of my mind since this whole thing started. Of how exactly Santino had escaped hell. I should have been enraged at Jaframel for hiding that from me. I should have been wondering what else he'd hidden. What other secrets he might have kept. But my revenge was in front of me, and Jaframel's blood filled my veins.
I don't fucking care. I've come to kill you, you scavenger son of a bitch, for what you did to Doreen. And every other woman you murdered.
And then there was no more time for talk because he moved in with that spooky, invisible speed of demons. I parried his claws, my katana blazing with blue fire. The plasgun tore out of my hands, but I hooked my fingers and swiped at him. Hot black demon blood sprayed and froze in the too cold air. Something had happened when he'd thrown that thing at Jaframel. It was too cold, even for Antarctica. He leapt on me, his compact weight knocking me off my feet. We tumbled and his claws tore at me, a horribly familiar gush of pain. I jackknifed my body, using his momentum as well as my own, and flung us both out into the night as I buried my katana in his chest, shoving with every ounce of preternatural strength Jaffer Mel had given me. The blade rammed through a shell of magic, through muscle, and the carbolic acid of demon blood, and the agony of the blade's shattering tore all the way through me. One of the shards pierced his heart. I flailed at him with my claws, his throat giving in one heated gush that coated my face and hands and instantly froze, sealing my nostrils. If I hadn't screamed, I might have suffocated. We hit the water, his slack, lifeless body exploding out in noxious, burning fragments. The shock of that hit drove all breath and consciousness from me, and I fell unresisting into the embrace of the ocean. The waves crackled and froze closed over my head.
No!
I floated, face down, stinging, cold so intense it burned, lassitude creeping up my arms and legs, familiar fingers on my cheek, tipping my head up.
No, don't, Danny. You have to live. You promised.
I didn't promise. Let me go. Let me go. Let me die.
You have work to do. Please, Danny. Please.
Even a share of fallen demon's power couldn't keep me alive for long in this. Something had happened. Santino had done something. That small, glittering thing had hit Jaffer Mel.
Santino, I killed him. I watched his body dissolve under my fingernails. I tore through his throat. He is indisputably dead and scattered on the freezing ocean. No little bit of him is left. I killed him. I did it. I got revenge for you. Isn't that enough?
No. Live, Danny. I want you to live.
I saw the blue crystal glow, the bridge under my feet. For one dizzying moment, I was between two worlds. The Hall of Death, its blue directionless light pouring through me. Anubis, standing tall and grim on the other side of the bridge. And the real world, where I floated face down under a sheet of broken ice. For one infinite moment, I was locked under the pitiless, infinitely forgiving gaze of the Lord of Death, weighing, evaluating, his black eyes fixed on mine.
It hurts too much. Please don't make me go back.
He shook his sleek black head once. Twice.
No! Let me stay! Let me stay!
Then he spoke. The word boomed through me. It was not his name or any word of power. It wasn't the secret name I held for him. My key to the door of death. No, it was my name, only more. It was my word, spoken by the god, the sound that expressed me, the sound. My soul leapt inside me, responding to his touch. The god took the weight from me. Briefly, Let me feel the freedom. The incredible freedom. Rising out of my body, leaving the world behind. The clear blue light becoming golden. The clear, rational light of what comes next. Back into my body. Fingers clamped in my hair, yanking. I was torn from the water's embrace, glazed with ice, the landing lights of the garbage scow named Baby exploding through the darkness.
Hang on!
Jace, his lips blue, tangled the plasmid around us both. We were yanked up together, his arms and legs wrapped around me. We broke through the air seals and into the warm interior of the hover, and the hatch closed as the peculiar, weightless pressure of a hover quickly ascending pressed down on me.
Breathe, you stubborn little bitch!
Water washed the decking, rapidly melting ice, shrinking under the assault of climate control.
Is she alive?
After the deafening noise, the quiet of the hover's interior and someone speaking normally was a muffled shock.
She's alive!
He flung his arms around me again. Water dripped. My fingers and toes tingled and prickled.
God damn you, Danny! Don't you ever do that to me again.
He kissed my forehead, examined my fingers and my dark rings, wrapped me in a space blanket that started to glow, heat stealing back into me. My right hand was twisted into a fist and I couldn't unloose it.
Gabe?
She'll live. Your demon friend patched her intestines back together up there in that room. Damnedest thing I ever saw. She's lost a lot of blood. But she's stable and the med unit's monitoring her.
Jace kissed my cheek, pushed sodden strands of dark hair back from my face.
Don't you ever do that to me again, Danny. I thought he'd killed you. The kid's fine. Curled up in a seat with a space blanket. She's asleep. Look, Danny.
Gaffermel?
Jace shook his head.
There was a hover. Another hover. It might have scooped him up, I don't know. We looked for him, Danny. We really did. The entire goddamn island's broken down and iced over. I don't think anything survived that. If we hadn't been airborne, we'd have been toast. What happened?
I killed him. I killed Santino. He threw something at Jeff.
We couldn't find him. I'm sorry, Danny.
I clapped my fists over my ears, huddled under the space blanket. I'd earned the tears, after all. Twelve hours later, we floated over an oddly quiet Nuevo Rio. Dry and finally warm again, I sat in the seat next to Doreen's daughter. I couldn't think of what else to call her, watching out the window as morning lay over the city. Jace had moved up front next to Eddie, and the comms up there had crackled with messages when we first approached the city. Gabe lay across a table, strapped down and deep in a sedative-induced slumber, the med unit monitoring her as it dripped synthetic plasma and antibiotics through a hypo into her veins. She'd wake up with a headache and a sore gut and spend a week or so recuperating, but she'd live. The Corvin family was gone. Just gone. They hadn't even put up a real fight. Jace was now the owner of a hell of a lot of family assets. When I looked back at Doreen's daughter, I saw she was awake. In the light, her eyes were wide and clear, and dark blue, like Doreen's, exactly like Doreen's. She watched me gravely, a small child with frighteningly adult eyes, far too much power and knowledge swimming in their depths. For a few moments, we sat like that,
One tired, sobbed out, half-demon necromance, and one small demon androgyne child.
I can't handle this. Then again, I have no choice. Hi. I'm Danny.
She watched me for a few more seconds.
I know. He told me you would come.
My mouth was dry and smooth as glass.
This isn't normal for a kid.
Like I knew it was normal for a kid. I never spent any time with children if I could help it.
Who told you? Santi? Your daddy?
She nodded, her pale hair falling forward over her face.
He said he was my daddy, but I don't think he was. My real daddy talks to me inside my head at night. He has green eyes and a green stone like me, and he told me you would come for me. He said he would send you.
She seemed to expect some sort of reply. It was obvious who her real daddy was. Either Lucifer had some way of communicating with her, or she was precognitive, or... My brain stopped sorting through alternatives. It didn't matter. Lucifer already knew about the kid, I'd bet. I'd also bet that Lucifer had known about Santino's samples. Or if not known, guessed. The Prince of Hell was no fool. Why, then, had Jaframel promised not to tell him?
I promised your mommy I'd take care of you. Oh, gods, Danny, you've done it now.
The little girl nodded solemnly.
You're not like them.
She pointed at the front of the hover where Jace and Eddie were.
You're not like my real daddy either.
Gods, I hope not.
I shifted uncomfortably in the seat.
What's your name?
I'm Eve.
Eve. Of course.
I watched as her dimples came out. She smiled at me.
Can I have some ice cream?
I don't think we have any, kiddo. Jaframel had to live on blood or sex or fire, but what does this girl eat? Oh, you are not ready for this, Danny. Not ready at all.
The hover circled slightly and began to drift downward toward Jace's mansion.
Danny? You may want to come take a look at this.
The little girl pushed her blanket off and shimmied down from her seat. She held her small, perfect hand up.
Can I come too?
She wore a short, white baby doll nightie, and her chubby feet were bare. I fought the urge to pick her up off the hover's cold metal deck.
Okay.
I took her hand. It was warm in mine. A demon's touch.
Like Jaframel's. Is he dead? Or have Santino's men taken him? What can they do to him? Is he injured?
I made my way up to the front, holding the girl's hand.
What's up?
Take a look out the window. How's the kid doing?
She seems okay.
Below us, the familiar blocky outlines of Jace's mansion grew larger as the hover slowly dropped. On the white marble expanse of courtyard in front, two sleek limo hovers crouched, and four police cruisers.
Fuck me.
What the hell?
I was hoping you could tell me. I'm incorporated and operating under codes, so I'm fairly sure they're not here to roust me.
Sekhmet Sayas. No chance they're here for you, Eddie?
Of course not. Unless they'd like to arrest Gabe for almost fucking dying. What do we do, Danny?
I wish you would stop nominating me as the idea man.
Nothing else to do. Drift on down and land, but keep the motor running until we're sure we don't need it. Jace, can I have a comlink?
Of course. What do you want me to do, Danny?
Stay here with the kid.
The little girl looked up at me, as if I were the only person in the hover.
If they take me, get the kid somewhere safe and wait for me to show up.
Jace swung out of his chair, not even bothering to argue with me. I felt a weary relief.
Is it normal to feel this way? So tired but unable to sleep? No. No sleep, not until I finish this game.
And it was a game. I'd been pushed from square to square all along. I took the child back into the hold and settled her back into the chair, tucking the blanket around her again. When I finished, Jace was standing by a crate of supplies, a strange expression on his face. His hair curled into a halo, drenched in ice water and then dried in climate control. I probably didn't look very good either.
What?
Nothing. Let me find a comm link.
Eddie piloted the hover down.
Sorry.
I slipped the comlink in my ear, settled my wrinkled coat on my shoulders, made sure my knives were easy in their sheaths. My right hand ached deeply, all the way down to the bone. If I were still human, I might be maimed. I knelt down in front of Eve, who watched me with Doreen's eyes.
I've got to go talk to whoever this is. You stay with Jace until I get back, okay?
Mm-hmm. It'll be all right, Danny. My daddy says so.
Great.
I stood up. The ground swayed underfoot. Or maybe it was just me.
Jace, I want you to promise. Promise you'll take care of her if I...
You know I will, Danny. Go on, get this over with.
His blue eyes skittered over to the girl, back up to me. I nodded, then Eddie popped the side hatch. I hopped down to the marble, almost losing my balance. The heat hammered at me. Nuevo Rio back to its old, bad, sunny self.
I wish I was home.
That surprised me, too. I hadn't felt like Saint City was home for a good 2 or 3 years. One of the limo hovers opened its side hatch. A set of steps folded down. I swallowed. I had a fair idea of what could be waiting in there. I strode across the burning white marble toward the sleek black hovers, trying to keep my shoulders straight and wishing I wasn't dirty, bloody, air-dried, and so close to crying my throat ached, keeping it all in. The inside of the limo hover was done in all different shades of red. Crimson, cardinal, burgundy, magenta, carmine, lobster. I blinked, stepping onto plush carpet at the top of the stairs. The air swirled with the smell of demon. Smoky musk. It was as if I hadn't been breathing until now. Whatever demons used for air, this hover was full of it.
That's why she smells familiar. She smelled like him. Like Lucifer.
The Prince of Hell lounged elegantly on a huge circular red velvet couch, his booted feet crushing the velvet. I gave the surroundings a tired glance. Wet bar, tinted windows, doors probably leading to a bathroom and a private bedroom. There was a sunken tub in one corner, bubbling and frothing with a clear, viscous fluid that didn't look even remotely like water. Lucifer's golden hair burned among the redness. He was dressed, of course, in all black silk. Loose, elegant pants and a long-sleeved, Chinese-collared shirt. The walls were done to look like expensive red damask wallpaper, and heavy velvet drapes muffled every sound.
This decor sucks.
I was too tired for any bowing and scraping. I cradled my right hand in my left. It was really starting to throb as adrenaline wore off.
Good afternoon to you, too. Have you brought me the egg?
Nope. But Santino's dead. And you didn't really want me to bring you the egg anyway. That was Jaframel's job. Looks like he did it because you're out of hell and feeling frisky.
Lucifer held up one elegant golden hand. I could look at his face now, without my eyes blinking and watering. His smell folded over me, teased at my hair, permeated my clothes. My bones rang with his nearness. A vibrating electricity that made me want to go to my knees. I fought the urge. A fine golden chain wrapped around his beautifully manicured fingers.
The once demon, Jaframel, brought me this.
He twirled a diamond glittering oval on the chain. Power filled the air. I couldn't look directly at the glittering thing. It hurt even my eyes. My throat was desert dry.
So that's what that was. Santino threw the egg at Jaframel to fend him off.
Indeed. Vardemal managed to unlock a fraction of the egg's power and threw it at Tierce Jaframel. The only thing that could possibly hurt my eldest, because it is mine, and therefore dangerous to my line. Any demon would be grievously injured by it. Except, of course, myself. I am the prince.
He cocked his golden head.
Where is the child, Dante Valentine?
I shrugged.
That's what you were after all the time, wasn't it? Doreen's kid. The androgyne. You let Santino alone until he did what you couldn't, and now you have everything.
The Cetayin was never more than a template, Dante. The egg contains my genetic codex and pure power. It is a mark of my reign and a useful tool.
You knew the whole time. You knew. You just couldn't afford to have anyone else know Santino had done what you couldn't, so you had to find a human to do the dirty work. And all that tripe about the egg being broken.
Think if Vardamal had managed to raise the child undisturbed, Dante. Imagine him ruling Hell, and how a Hellas Vrant agent on Earth through that child. That is what breaking the egg means. Breaking the chain of command. Breaking the rule of Iblis Lucifer.
I had one of those sudden flashes of instinct that made my back chill with goose flesh.
He's not nervous, but he is tense. Where's Jaframel? What game is he playing now?
I glanced back toward the side hatch. It had silently closed. I was alone in a hover limo with the devil. And wonder of wonders, it looked for all the world like the devil was scared of little old me.
That hover at Santino's lair. That was you, or your agents. They brought you Jaframel and the egg. And Santino's dead. Case closed, contract terminated, bargain fulfilled.
Lucifer tipped his perfect head back, his green eyes crawling over me.
Aren't you going to ask me about Jaframel?
The thought that had been tormenting me all the way back from the island slammed into the forefront of my mind again.
Who do you think helped me escape from Hell? He's Lucifer's assassin, his right hand. He's used you.
I doubt you'd tell me the truth if I asked. Why waste my breath?
He is a Nankimel. Fallen. I can no longer use him. And he has tied himself to you. Besides, I promised him his freedom.
Lucifer seemed to sink even further into the cushions.
I never thought to see the day my assassin was brought low by a human woman.
I got the distinct idea that Lucifer was not pleased with this turn of events.
So? He's free. Fine.
Lucifer blinked. I suppressed a tired urge to giggle.
Let me be perfectly clear, Dante. You do not want to play with me.
I'm not playing, Lucifer. I don't care anymore. I just want to go and get some sleep.
I spread my hands, my new golden-skinned hands, sparks from my rings in the charged air. It felt like a thunderstorm was gathering. For all I knew, one was. He sat up, his boots touching the floor. I tensed, but he only leaned forward, hands on his knees.
Very well, then. Here is your choice. Give me the child, and I will give you Jaframel.
That did it. I laughed until tears squirted out of my eyes and my stomach hurt. I wiped my eyes and regarded the Prince of Hell.
Go fuck yourself. If it'll reach. You think I'm gonna hand an innocent kid, Doreen's kid, over to you for gods alone know what you want to do to her? You've got another thing coming. You made the bargain with Jaframel that he had his freedom when he finished this job, and he finished it. You can't keep him, you sorry son of a bitch, and I'd like to see you try. He'll eat you for breakfast.
My rings sparked. Power cloaked me in close swirls.
Let me give you a piece of advice, Iblis Lucifer. Don't ever try to double-cross a necromance. As scary as you are, Prince, death's bigger and badder.
I finished my speech with my hands on my hips and my chin held high, my right hand flaring with pain as I balled it into a tight fist. Lucifer didn't move. His eyes glittered, that was all. No wonder he was afraid. If Santino could challenge him with Eve, Lucifer probably thought I could too, if he pissed me off enough.
How do you think you will feed her, Dante? Or teach her to live in the human world? Hell is separate from Earth for a reason. You cannot raise an androgyne.
I promised. I promised to take care of her. I don't want Hell or any fancy schmancy deals. You should have told me everything at the beginning, Lucifer. She wasn't part of the deal. Let Jaffra Mel go.
I waited. The air turned prickling hot. I didn't move, meeting his eyes. Finding out that I only had to be too tired to care before I won a staring match with the devil.
Jaffra Mel is no longer a demon. Any bargain I made with him does not apply. I will keep him in hell, enchained, tortured, for as long as his life lasts. And I will be certain to let him know that you could have saved him from his fate, and did not.
You really are a piece of work.
My left hand crept toward my knife hilt.
Left-handed? I can't kill the devil left-handed.
I am not handing a kid over to you, you freak. And if you go ahead and torture Jaffra Mel, which I don't recommend, you'll just be a fucking grifter. How will that look? The Prince of Hell has to welsh on a deal? You're already known for being a liar, now you're a cheat too.
One moment I was standing there, hands on hips, talking smack to the Prince of Hell. The next instant he had me by the throat, his grip crushing strong, holding me against the side of the hover as casually as he might hold a kitten by the scruff.
I am being merciful because you have been useful. You are under the illusion that you have a choice.
His hand tightened. I kicked fruitlessly.
Do not interfere with the child, and I will let you and Jaffra Mel live out your miserable lives unmolested.
What happened to being my friend?
I struggled, black spots dancing over my vision. His fingers were like iron bars even for my newfound demon strength. He eased up a little.
Fuck!
He didn't look so pretty when he was angry. My left shoulder began to burn, faintly at first, but steadily. The black spots danced over my vision. I kicked, weakly. Once, twice, he stared over my shoulder, out the window. He dropped me, like a pile of trash. I rolled onto my side and rubbed my throat. It took me two tries to get to my feet. The side hatch of the hover limo was open, white sunlight from the Nuevo Rio Day pouring up and making a square on the ceiling. I half fell out of the hover and down the stairs, sharp edges biting into my hip, smacking my head on one. The skin split and blood dripped down my face. I landed in a heap on hot, slick stone and scrabbled to my feet. The child, Eve, stood by the garbage scow, the fierce sunlight making her hair seem even paler, glittering. Her eyes blazed incandescent blue, and Lucifer stood in front of her.
No! No!
The Prince of Hell knelt slowly, sinking down, a black blot on the carnivorous white of the day. I saw Jace, braced in the side door of the hover, shaking his head as if dazed. Lucifer held up the egg and settled the thin gold chain around Eve's neck. She smiled up at him. My abused body couldn't take anymore. My feet tangled and I fell. Lucifer rose like a dark wave, and the child put her arms around his neck and hugged him, resting her head on his shoulder, just like a little girl with her daddy. My gorge rose. But demons weren't human, and human rules didn't apply to them. For all I knew, all of Lucifer's bed buddies were his children. He was the androgyne, the first. Then Lucifer turned on his heel, took three steps, and lifted one golden hand. His hair ran with sunlight, a furnace of gold, glittering unbearably. I heard the whine of hover displacement, but I didn't care. I saw Iblis Lucifer rip a hole in the fabric of reality and step through as if going from one room to another. Flame licked the corners of the hole he made, and the last thing I saw was Eve smiling over his shoulder, her blue eyes fixed on me, calm and tranquil and utterly inhuman. Power rippled and rent the air. Nausea spiked under my breastbone. Something thudded on the marble behind me. Jace reached me, dropping to his knees, grabbing my shoulders. We watched together as the limo hovers lifted into the sky, quickly, then dived over the well of Nuevo Rio. The police cruisers made one circuit of the mansion, and then slid down into the city, going back to patrol, probably.
Game over. Lucifer wins.
Jace shook me.
Danny! Danny!
What the fuck? Jace's arms crushed me.
Fuck, Danny, what happened? The kid heard his voice on the comlink and just walked out, said her daddy was here to get her.
I hate this line of work.
I looked back over my shoulder to where the limo hovers had rested. There was a black blot on the pavement, one with short, ink-black hair.
They tossed him out, Danny.
Help me up. Help me up!
He dragged me up to my feet, steadying me as I swayed. Eddie appeared at the hatch.
What the fuck is going on out there?
Go back, Jace. I'll be fine.
You're not fine. Look at you. Your hand, your throat.
Go make sure Gabe's okay. Go on.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Jace took a step back, his face going cold and hard as the marble under us. I think I watched Jace Monroe age 5 years in that one moment. His shoulders slumping, his blue eyes gone pale as frost.
Danny, you're not. Seriously.
The heat poured down on us like oil from Nuevo Rio's blue sky.
Go on, Jace. Go.
I turned away, limped toward the crumpled dark shape lying against the whiteness, too still. He was too still.
Danny.
I don't care.
It took me a long time to limp across the marble. I finally reached him and went down on my knees. He lay twisted against the smooth, slick stone, legs shattered, his face unrecognizable. Nothing could possibly be that broken and live. I flattened my left hand against his shredded chest. His wings lay bent and broken, tattered, draped across him. He had stopped bleeding. Smoke threaded up from his wings. His blood burning.
No.
His eyes were mere slits, glazed over.
Jeffremel?
The mark on my shoulder had stopped its flaming pain. Now it was cold, all the way down to my bones, numb cold. The cold of shock. No spark of life. I touched his throat, pried up one ruined eyelid and peered at his eye. No pulse. No reaction in the pupil. Just the steady drift of smoke rising from him. My head dropped. The sound seemed to go on forever. My throat pulsed with pain. I reached with all the power I had left. I tried to find the spark of life in him. I rested my palm on his body and closed my eyes, searching, but nothing was there. This was only a shell. Jeffremel was gone. Free. He was finally free. Lucifer had killed him, or let him die. I didn't realize the tears splashing his battered face were mine. I bent over him for a long moment, searching for any sign of life, and then settled back on my heels, cold in the middle of the furnace-like sunshine. The flames began in earnest, eating his demon body, self-combusting with a smell like burning cinnamon. I tipped my head back to the uncaring blue sky. Gabe was fine. Shaky, battered, weak from blood loss, and possessed of an interesting new set of scars where Santino had ripped her belly open. But fine. She lived, and after a couple of days, she called me to say Eddie had stopped rampaging through the mansion, threatening to break windows. I stayed in a hotel down in Nuevo Rio, a cockroach-infested place where I had to listen to screaming and the pops of projectile guns outside my window every night. Gabe also told me Jace was going to give them the baby, and they planned to fly the garbage scow back to Saint City. Eddie had wanted to hover anyway. I said nothing, just listened to her on the phone and then slowly closed the sound of her voice away, setting the receiver down in its cradle. Good for them. I flew first class in a passenger transport. My right hand was an awkward claw, but I got around with my left just fine. It would take me a long time to bless another sword, if my hand ever straightened out. I carried the urn with me. It was black lacquer, beautiful and heavy. Pure, fine, cinnamon-scented ash, scraped together from white marble and carefully placed in the urn's embrace. Every speck of ash I had been able to find had gone into the urn, left by Lucifer as a parting gift, maybe, just to rub everything in. Jace did not see me off at the dock. I didn't expect him to. I'd left his mansion like a thief in the middle of the night, carrying Jaframel's ashes with me. Jace hadn't tried to find me or talk to me. Good. It was while I was sitting in the hover, resting my head against the side of the seat, that everything became clear. Of course Jaframel had helped Vardamal escape hell. It made sense, especially since Lucifer probably let him do it, figuring that Vardamal wouldn't find anything of value among humans, even humans carrying the strain of the fallen, scions. What Lucifer didn't know, and Jaframel probably didn't know either, was that Vardamal had taken the egg. And when Lucifer found that out, suddenly Vardamal wasn't so little a threat. If Lucifer hadn't known about the kid then, he'd probably guessed when he found the egg gone and took notice of the human world again, finding out that Vardamal, true to form, had been taking samples from human psychics and had then disappeared. And at some point, Lucifer had made contact with Eve, way before I did, but probably following the same link of blood I'd followed. Only his link with the child would be stronger, since it was his genetic material, and I only had the fading echo of my love for Doreen and our shared human link. And if Lucifer had been unable to leave hell without the egg, all of a sudden it became necessary to attack Vardamal from a direction the scavenger demon wouldn't see coming. No demon would think that the prince would hire a human. Lucifer had been playing to retain his control of hell. Eve was another playing piece with potential value as a created androgyne. It would be child's play for Lucifer to reverse engineer and find Vardamal's shining path of genes, securing his own grasp on the reproduction of other demons. And it probably piqued the hell out of Lucifer that Vardamal had managed to do something the prince couldn't. Vardamal had been playing for control of hell itself. Jaframel had been playing for his freedom, and just when it seemed possible that he might live out the game, Lucifer had killed him for letting Vardamal escape. Never mind that Lucifer allowed and probably facilitated it. It was all very logical once I got a chance to think about it. Simple enough. And me? Just a human tool. I'd been playing for my life. And here I was, alive, and the demon who lied to me was dead. I'd killed Santino at last, but Lucifer had Doreen's kid. If that made us even, it also made me the loser. Maybe Lucifer hadn't expected Jaframel to turn me into whatever I was now. And that was a problem. Just what the hell was I? Jaframel had expected to be alive enough to explain it to me when everything was said and done. Maybe he miscalculated just how deeply Lucifer would detest the idea of anyone winning anything from him, even his assassin, whom he'd thrown away anyway. The transport finally docked, and I waited until everyone else had a chance to get off before I made my way out into the hoverport, breathing in the Saint City stink again, feeling the cold glow of my home's power rasping against my flesh. It took me bare seconds to adapt because I wasn't human. I caught a cab home. The urn cuddled against my belly, and found myself in my own front yard again, under a blessedly cloudy Saint City sky. A faint light rain was misting down, decking out my garden with small silvery beads of water. I'd need to weed soon, and tear up half the valerian, dry out the roots to use for sleeping tea. If I could ever sleep again, that was. I unlocked my door and stamped my feet on the mat. My familiar, soothing house folded around me. I carried the urn into the stale, quiet dimness of my house. The hall had that peculiar odor of a place where nobody has breathed for a while. A house closed up on itself for too long. Halfway up the stairs, the niche with the little statue of Anubis was just the same as it had always been. Dusty, but just the same. My house was still here, still standing. It was only my life that had been burned to the ground. I settled the urn between two slim vases of dead flowers. I had forgotten to throw them out before I left, and lit two tall black candles in crystal holders. Then I trudged up the rest of the stairs, one by one. I draped my coat over the banister, unbuttoned my shirt, freed my hair from its filthy braid. Somehow, washing off all the crud hadn't seemed worth it. My personal computer deck stood in the upstairs study next to the file cabinet where Santino's file had rested. I flicked it on and spent a few moments tapping. When I finally signed on to my bank statements, I sat there and stared at the screen for a long time. Gods. I was no longer Danny Valentine, struggling mercenary and necromance. I was rich. Not just rich, phenomenally rich. I sat there, staring at the flickering screen. I would never have to worry about money again. Not for a long, long time anyway. And just how long would I live, cursing myself, knowing I'd been outplayed by the devil in a game I hadn't even known I was going to be sucked into. All things being equal, I was lucky to still be breathing. I looked at the numbers, my pulse beating frail and hard in my throat and wrists. At least Lucifer hadn't welched on that part of his promise. I logged out and switched the deck off. Then sat looking at my hands in the gathering twilight. The blessed quiet of my house enfolded me. My hands lay obediently in my lap, golden-skinned and graceful. The right was still twisted into a kind of claw, but if I tried, I could move the fingers a little more each day. My wrists were slender marvels of bone architecture. If I scrubbed the dirt off my face, I could look in a mirror and see a demon's beauty under a long fall of dark hair, the emerald glowing from my cheek. Would I still be able to enter death? I was pretty sure, but I didn't have the stinking courage to find out for sure. Not yet. Empty. I was an empty doll,
You will not leave me to wander the earth alone!
Had he meant it? Had the only thing Jaframel not planned for been me? Or had I been part of his game? Somehow, I didn't think I'd been something he'd planned. Call me stupid, but I didn't think so. I blinked. A tear dropped from my eyelid, splashed onto my right hand. I might have sat there for hours if not for... My heart leapt into my mouth. I tasted bile. I made it down the stairs, slowly, like an old woman. I didn't bother to scan the other side of the door. My shields and Jaframel's still remained perfect over the house. Nothing short of a thermonuclear psychic attack could damage my solitude now. I didn't want to wonder why Jaframel's shields were still perfect if he was dead. Maybe demon magic worked differently. I found myself confronted with a pair of blue eyes and slicked down golden hair, dark with the creeping rain. He stood on my doorstep, leaning on his staff, and regarded me. I said nothing. Silence stretched between us. Jace shoved past me and into my front hall. I shut the door and turned around. Now he faced me in my house, through the stale dimness. We stared at each other for a long time. Finally, he licked his lips.
Hate me all you want. Go ahead. I don't blame you. Yell at me, scream at me, try to kill me, whatever. But I'm not leaving.
I folded my arms, stared at him. He stared back at me.
I'm not human anymore, Jace.
My voice was ruined from screaming, and from the devil's hand crushing my larynx. I was lucky he hadn't killed me. Or had he deliberately left me alive to wander the earth alone?
I don't care what you are. I'm not leaving.
What if I leave? I could go anywhere in the world.
He pounded his staff twice on my floor.
For fuck's sake, Danny, get off it, will you? I'm staying, that's it. Yell at me all you like, I'm not leaving you alone. The demon's dead, you need someone to watch your back.
I don't love you. I won't ever love you.
If I cared about that, I'd still be in Rio with a new mob family and a sweet little fat-bottom babalawow. This is my choice, Danny, not yours.
I shrugged and brushed past him, climbed the stairs slowly, one at a time. I hadn't made my bed before I left, so I just dropped myself into the tangle of sheets and covers and closed my eyes. Hot tears slid out from between my eyelids, soaked into the pillow. He set his staff by the bed, leaning it against the wall the way he used to. Then he lowered himself down next to me, fully clothed, lying on his back, staring up at the ceiling.
Oh. Sleep on the couch if you want.
Do whatever you want. I don't care.
Just for tonight, then. I'll be a gentleman. Buy another bed and clear that spare bedroom tomorrow.
I don't care.
Silence descended on my house again. The sharp tearing in my chest eased a little, then a little more. Tears trickled down to my temples, soaked into my hair. He must have been exhausted, because it took a very little time before his even breathing brushed the air. His face, serene with human unconsciousness and age. Sleep. Death's younger sister. Or oldest child. I lay next to Jace, stiff as a board. And cried myself into a demon's fitful sleep.
Dante Valentine Book 1, Working for the Devil Part 2, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2005, Lilith St. Crow. Published by arrangement with Hachette Book Group, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Colleen Delaney, Christopher Sheeran, Thomas Keegan, Kimberly Gilbert, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Mort Shelby, Joseph Thornhill, Elizabeth Jernigan, Joe Brack, Terrence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, and Johann Detweiler. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed and adapted for Graphic Audio by Rose Elizabeth Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Johann Detweiler. Additional original music by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Working for the Devil Part 2, be sure to look for E.E. Knight's Vampire Earth Saga and Brent Week's Night Angel Trilogy. Both available in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.